Okay, look, if you just open up your Bibles. Now, we know what the theme is of camp, and I have to admit I've seen some of my scriptures slowly eroded, and so I've looked at some different aspects about this particular theme. And I just wanted to mention, firstly, when I first came along, I actually was only 15. I'd come along to the meetings. I was quite religious, and most of the people know I was a Catholic. But I'd never seen a miracle. And I was someone who was quite devout. I'd consider myself quite a devout Catholic, and I prayed every day. I had my rosaries, and I would do that every day. But I'd never seen a miracle, and it wasn't until my brother, and we're all brought up to be Catholics, he came home one day, and he said a miracle had happened. And I'm thinking, hang on, I'm the religious one here. You know, I'm the one who believes in God, and he's the one who said he's had a miracle in his life. But not only that, he spoke about all these miracles that had happened to people that he'd met. And I was just amazed. And he's come home and he's telling me these things. And it was really fascinating. You know, people who'd been healed. I've never met anybody who'd been healed. And other things, people have been provided for, protected. And it was quite amazing, but it was these first-hand experience that people were telling him of things that had happened in their lives, and it's through a God's power and receiving the Holy Spirit. So that's one of the reasons I went along, and that's because I saw what had happened in his life, and I knew something had happened. I knew he changed. He described himself as being someone who drank, smoked, fought, and did all the ungodly things. But he said when he received the Holy Spirit, he changed. He didn't do those things anymore. In fact, he said the desire to do those things left him. And so that's the reason I went along. And so, you know, when we look at this theme and how Paul mentions about how with his preaching, there was power and signs through by the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's what I wanted to look at, just the aspect of preaching the gospel. And who better to preach the gospel than us? You know, after all, we've got the truth in our lives, and all the people said. Amen. Now, if we just turn to Matthew 28, just wanted to start off there. So Matthew 28 and verse 18. And this is Jesus, and he says in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. And we can see here, you know, Jesus is saying, look, you know, all this power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. But he goes on to say, look, but this is what I want you to do. Go out and teach the nations, teach the people, baptize them in the Holy Ghost, and tell them about the things of God. And that's what we're here to do. And we can look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. We don't have to turn to it. But Jesus also says there about powers going to come upon you, and you're going to be witnesses for me. And that's what we've become. We've become his witness, and that's our commission. And who better to preach the good news than us? And, you know, there's a lot of bad news out there, a lot of bad things that happen. But as for us, what we can tell people are words of life and things that are going to change their life. I've used this example before when I had to give a talk at Morley, and so for those people, you know, just bear with me again. But most of you know I work for Centrelink, and the job I do, I work in an area which is dealing with people who put in claims for the disability support pension, And it's not an easy area because, unfortunately, there's a lot of sick people, a lot of people putting claims, trying to get onto the disability support pension, and most of the times we reject their claim and they're unsuccessful. So out of maybe six claims, for example, we would just reject, say, five claims. And so that means that one out of six gets through. So, you know, the chance of you getting onto the payment is very slim. And so, and one of the things we do, apart from rejecting the claim, we contact them and we tell them, you know, you've been unsuccessful with your claim. And that's what it's like, you know, given our bad news. It's not fun. You know, you can imagine, you know, ringing up someone, hey, you know, I'm from Centrelink. I want to tell you about your claim and you've been unsuccessful. And so giving out bad news isn't good, is it? But it has to be done. You know, people need to know. But as for us, you know, we can tell people the good news. And from that, we know that the good news that's come into our lives can come into their lives and it brings forth life. And all the people said. I mean, if we just go to Acts chapter 6. Just want to pick a few stories of some of the apostles and how they stood out. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 8. So in Acts chapter 6 and verse 8 it reads, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles upon the people. And we'll skip verse 9, but it does talk about how people disputed with Stephen. But in verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And we can see here with Stephen, you know, he did amazing miracles and great wonders. Now, you know, when we look at the Acts of the Apostles, we read about some of the miracles that took place and people were healed, people were provided for, people prayed for, and they were delivered. And you can only imagine just from reading that, that's the sort of things that was evident in Stephen's life. The power of God was working. And he would have made it, no doubt, very clear to the people round about, you know, this is what you have to do to be right with God. And people obviously weren't happy with what he had to say. It says they disputed with him. And he, in verse 7, won't turn to it, he also says, you stiff-necked people, you're uncircumcised in heart, do you resist the Holy Ghost? And obviously, you know, he makes it clear to him, why are you resisting? And this is the truth that's being preached to you. And with us, you know, it's going to be like that, isn't it? You know, we are going to encounter things and you're not always going to have a witness where people are going to say, yeah, that's great, I'm going to I believe what you're saying. Lead me along to your meeting, I'll come along. But there's going to be disputes, isn't there? There's going to be arguments and sometimes it can get a bit heated. But as for us, you know, we've had the truth delivered to our lives and we stand up for the truth. And people might try and break down the truth, and they will. But, you know, there's power in God's word. And no matter what their arguments are, no matter how they try and dispute with you, resist the things of God, God's word cannot be broken down. It just can't, because God's word remains faithful and true through the test of time, and we see that. And I know, you know, we've spoken to many people, and people arc up when you try and tell them the truth. And I remember one time I was speaking to a particular lady, and she said, I'm an engineer, and because I'm an engineer, I cannot believe there's a God. And I thought, oh, gee, okay, that's a bold statement, isn't it? But obviously, science being her background, she said, there's no God. You know, and she just believed, obviously, in nature and things like that, but certainly didn't believe in God. And then I went on to tell her, I've actually got two sons who are engineers, and she just wouldn't believe that. And I said, they are. you know, and yet they believe in God. They've had this experience. And so people, it doesn't matter, you know, how strong their beliefs are, you know, when you compare it against the Word of God, they've got nothing to stand upon. If you just keep moving on to Acts chapter 8, let's have a look at another story here. Actually, I'm just going to leave that just for time, but it's a good story. It's about Philip and also something to do with Simon the sorcerer. But if we just go to Acts 52. Oh, no, sorry. Isaiah 52. And in verse 7, and this reads, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that saith to Zion, Thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up thy voice, with the voice together they shall sing, for they shall see eye to eye, or when the Lord shall bring again Zion." And when we look at this scripture, you know, when you think about it, you know, feet are not beautiful looking things, are they? Let's be honest, you know, who here considers their feet to be beautiful? You know, not, oh, okay, just one, okay. Okay, but, you know, let's be honest, they're not beautiful looking things, but the point is, it's what we're able to do. We're able to go out and tell people about the good tidings, you know, publish to them what the Bible talks about in regards to the truth, and that's what we do. And it also talks about these watchmen lifting up their voice. Now, that's a talk in itself, being the watchman. But when we look at it, we are the watchman, aren't we? You know, we are the modern-day watchman. In Israel, they obviously had watchmen at that time, and their job was to watch. And it might be a simple job, but if you're on duty and you were told to watch, you had to be alert. What good is a watchman if he's sleeping on the job? You know, it's just crazy, isn't it? And then the enemy came about, and then he's fast asleep, and people get killed, and the city destroyed. It would be upon his head, but he had to be alert. If there was any sign of danger, he would get out, maybe his bugle or whatever it was, and sound the alarm to let other people know. And that's something that falls upon us because, you know, we're the modern-day watchmen, you know, we've got the alarm, haven't we? And we need to use it, and we just need to let people know there's danger out there. Although they can't see it, you know, we live in a society where people think everything's okay, you know. What's wrong with Australia? Everything's good, you know, we're cared for, we're looked after, there's no wars, you know, everything's okay. But underneath all that, you know, people aren't right with God and they need to be. And it falls on us to just tell them, look, you know, everything might be life okay in your life naturally, but what about spiritually? Is your life okay? And you need to be right with God. You might have everything that you want to achieve in this life, but if you haven't got God in your life, you've got nothing. And we know we've got God in our lives. We might have nothing else, but you'd rather have God in your life. So if we just have a look, just go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4. Okay, 2 Timothy 4. Let's start off in verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, or with all teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And it makes it pretty clear there, doesn't it, about, you know, preaching the word. And sometimes it's not always convenient, is it, to preach the word. And but when we do, I believe, you know, God blesses that attitude. And so it does fall upon us, you know, whether we feel like doing it or not. You know, if we preach the word of God, you know, God can work. And that's what we need to do, is go out there and do and make full proof of our ministry. And it's great when you talk to people about the things of God, because it does start to remind you yourself of what God did in your life when you first received the Holy Spirit. And how can you not be happy about that? And because people are out there, they're looking for things. And they're turning, unfortunately, to fables, to things that aren't true. And but as for us, you know, we've got the truth and we've got the proof. And that's something we can tell people about, you know, what God has done in your in our lives. And it's real, and how our lives have changed. If we go to Isaiah 40, I'll just finish off there. Okay, Isaiah 40, I'll just finish off here. This is in verse 29. So in verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And so we can see here, you know, this this power of God that he talks about. And this power that's given to us, it doesn't die down. It doesn't diminish over time. And the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. That power is still the same. And we can get tired and we can grow weary, but we know the Spirit that was first given to us is still the same Spirit. It hasn't changed. And I suppose it's for us to just to remember that, you know, re-energize ourselves. Let's get invigorated and realize that the Spirit doesn't diminish over time. It's the same Spirit. And if we need to, you know, build ourselves up, you know, there's good examples about, you know, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up yourself on your most holy faith. You know, it comes back on us to build ourselves up. But as we walk on in the Lord, we know that God's gospel needs to be told to people. There's power there, and there's the truth with the proof. And all the people said, amen. Look, I'll just leave it there.